Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I'm joined by Amber from Aura Arts.
Hello, hello. How are y'all?
I'm doing well. I'm happy you're here. You know, you and I, we met at Self Privilege Essentials. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kafar Myers, where you were actually doing a live painting,
yes,
such as this one right over here. I love that work. And, you know, off rip, when you and I met, what I thought was really, really cool was, one, just you, how you were working, because you're an artist, and to keep your composure in such a chaotic type of atmosphere, you know, for you to do a live painting. When I saw you doing it, I was like, I pulled up on you. I said, excuse me, I have so many questions.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
And I was like, I have so many questions. And I'm like, I run a podcast. And you were like, yeah, I could tell. And I was like, what?
I actually don't even remember saying that, but okay. Yeah.
No, you did say that. You did. I was like, you were like, I could tell. I was like, why do you say that? You're like, your voice. I was like, yeah, oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. So yeah, that was one of those like experiences that who I am as a podcaster, when stuff like that happens, is like, oh, okay, like I don't really hear that often. I mean, I've heard it every now and then, mm-hmm. but when I first meet someone, I don't really hear it as often. So thank you for that compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I definitely heard it. It's kind of like when you know someone has that type of newscaster voice. Not that yours is like a newscasting voice, but it's just something like with the tone, with the way that you present yourself. I was like, yeah. When you said that, it made sense.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that newscaster voice, because there was this thing that I used to do, and I still do it every now and then, called mm-hmm. Kevin Weatherman here reporting to you live from, you know, wherever. Yeah. And that's just me like trying to run my own, like, I don't know, weather channel. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious. I love it. But, you know, that's a good comparison that you said there. So, yeah, like I said, I had so many questions for you, and I'm mm-hmm. happy that you're here. So let's just dive into it. Just dive into it. So you're a painter, artist, like when did you start your journey as far as, you know, picking up the pen and start sketching and so on and so forth?
Honestly, I would say that I've just been doing art all of my life. Like, even when I was younger, that was the one thing when we used to do Christmas and birthdays and everything. Like, that's all I would ask for is art supplies, pencils, notebooks, everything that I can have in that range. And I just feel like I've always had such a creative mindset. Even as simple as my mother, she used to, whenever she would go to work, we would have to travel with her. Mm-hmm. So we would be in her office and they had like, you know, like the computer paper, and they would have like their pens and highlighters. And I'd sit there and like, I'd take the cups from those, what is those things called? The water jugs.
Okay,
like
yeah, the water fountain.
Yeah, and I would take the cups from there, and I would take like the trash bags, and I would make little drums, and I would like create like my own little books and stuff, draw pictures in there, write stories and everything. So I feel like it was something that was always in me, that was just meant to be my gift, and it just kind of increased over time, so.
That's awesome. It sounds like it was a pastime for you.
Yeah.
At your mother's job, and you just started doodling. And I, you know, hats off to you, because, you know, people who think like that, it's amazing. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, because like I'm not artistically inclined. Like I can't really draw that mm-hmm. well, and let alone paint. So when you hear those stories about how those people, like, you know, it always, I hear more often than not, it's like, I started doodling and sketching back when.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's crazy to think that. More often than not, it's like the original start for most people. You know, it's just like we started sketching, we started doing doodles, and then it just grew into something more beautiful, grew into fruition.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's awesome. You've been doing that for quite a long time, and it's just been something that you felt was instilled in you.
Yeah, I think it's just something that I could never let go of. You know, you have hobbies and stuff, even as a child, that you're doing. Like, I used to play with grass and pretend that it was food, and I would, like, feed my family, like, but I obviously got out of that. I used to collect rocks, and I was like, okay, you know, I got out of that. But art and drawing and paint, well, not even painting, because that came later in life, but, like, those things always stayed with me. And it was something that, like, in me, I was like, yeah, I need to keep doing this. It was like I had a goal at such a young age, like, this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. So It's like my body just kind of moved with the way my mind was working.
That's beautiful to like know what you want to do at such a young age. It really is. You know, it's like you're blessed to know like this is my path and I love it. So that's perfect. And I honestly, I do like your name as far as, you know, your art page is called Aura Arts. Mm-hmm. O-H-A-R. Thank oh, excuse you. Me. O-R-A-H. Excuse me.
Thank you.
Arts. And, you know, I like to ask people, like, what's the meaning behind it? Because I like aura. You know, aura is an energy that you give up. So then I'm like, I'm looking at your art, all the pieces of art that you've done. And I'm like, what type of aura is she trying to give off? And these are, like, the three auras that I thought to myself. I was like, is she trying to give off, like, a light aura? Like, a light, you know, be the light in a room. But then yet, she can also be giving off a powerful aura because there's power in your art. I see it. As well as a beauty and just strong, you know, powerful. So like aura arts, like where did that originate and what type of aura are you trying to portray through your art?
So it actually, I guess I would say it was probably like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I have a lot of nicknames, but this was one nickname that I felt like kind of stuck with me. And even to the point, like when I was at work, I started like writing that on my name tag. Cause my aunt, she, like we would read the Bible together a lot and everything, you know, I believe in God and everything. So she would read the Bible and we started getting into like the origin of like the words in Hebrew and like breaking it down, you know, the etymology, like learning what those different words mean. And one thing that her and a lot of people in my family always used to say is that like I have like a light, like there's just a light that I give off, this that type of energy. And I think that that was just when she looked up the word, it was or like O-R-E. If you want to think of like, you know, like the ores that they mine in the ground, like gemstones, stuff like that. Even my name Amber is an actual like resin. It's a stone that's like a fiery color. And so I think that when she actually was the one who like gave me that name. And it was just to mean light. It was to mean fire. It was to like mean just brightness, bringing that type of thing.
The name Aura, your aunt gave you the name Aura?
Yeah, Aura, okay. Yeah. So it was just like a name that she would call me, you know, whenever she would see me and everything. And that's what I decided to name, you know, to name my craft. I was like, you know, I want what I produce to give light, to bring light to other people. So I wanted that to stay in there. But that's pretty much the origin of where it came from. And it kind of connected to me in so many different ways, because like I said, again, like my name is Amber. And when you look at that stone, it's not even a stone. When you look at the resin, it's that fiery color. It's the red and the orange, it's the brightness. And that's something that has always been seen in me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I guess that's what it is. I'm going to accept it like that. But yeah.
Do you feel like it was instilled in you? Like when people were telling you, like they see it in you, how'd you like first react to that? Cause I've gotten similar compliments as in like you give off this light in the room. And it's like, at first I was like, that's interesting. Cause I never thought about it. I'm just me. You know what I mean? So when people were telling you that, were you easy to accept like, oh, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense.
I honestly, no. No, definitely not. Like it's hard for me to see what other people are seeing. So I feel like if I give that type of energy, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm glad that's what you're feeling. And that's what I kind of make my motivation every day. Like, I want to make sure that that's the character that I'm showing, that I'm, you know, bringing light, bringing joy to people, and not like, because there's so much other stuff that's happening in the world, so much sorrow, so much pain, so much like anger. And I'm like, I don't really want to be another person doing that. So it's something that I feel like my body and myself and in my physical sense was like, yeah, like I accept this, I'm doing this, but my mind was like, yeah, no, I don't see what they're talking about. Like,
it's like a universal purpose. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like the purpose that was given from you for the universe, that you just give off that energy. And you know, I really will say this, like the way you are walking the walk and talking the talk right now is fantastic.
You are
well up here, she's up here, she's speaking loud. Like, I love this energy, I really do. So you are giving off that high energy and that light tempo. And like you mentioned to me earlier, like you were like, oh, I'm not really that nervous, which is great, you know. And I'm like, you know, you don't hear that often. A lot of people are a little bit nervous, even though they know me through the podcast. So yeah, you are light and you know who you are. So kudos to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So what type of artist would you consider yourself? You know, do you kind of like, if you had to put yourself in a style, would you have, would you give yourself a style, or are you like diverse in your art form? Like, you know how they have like cartoonism, humanism, so on and so forth. It's hard. I'm sorry. I don't want to box you into a certain.
It's fine. I guess I will call myself a painter now, like, just because that's what I focus on a lot more. But if I were to put myself in a category, I think maybe like expressionism, or like an expressionist, because I feel like I get these moments where, and I, it's not really, I think this is the first time, this painting right here, where I actually like was just led by that feeling. But I get these moments where I feel, I'm not even closing my eyes. It's almost like I am just envisioning what I want to paint or what I want to draw. It's just coming into my mind. And especially if I'm welled up with a lot of emotion, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling extremely happy, and I'll be, this image will pop into my mind. I'm like, yeah, this must be the Most High. Like, just downloading it in there. And I'll just feel it. And I'm like, yeah, I need to put this on the canvas right now. And so that's why I feel like it's more of just, it's just expression. It's whatever my emotions are taking in.
Expressionist. You know? Yeah, yeah, I like that, because that, so that's good. That means that, you know, looking at your art, that makes a lot of sense. You know, just the things you draw. You know, I'm looking at some over there, I'm looking at the painting over here. It's expression based. It's what you were going through at that moment, or what you felt at that moment. And that's really, really cool, because it's not, because then it's like you're sitting and you're thinking like, wow, what was she thinking? You know, it's like you had this image in your head even before it was even drawn on there or even painted on there, you know, as well as do you see as far as maybe even color scheme?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, I don't even know. Like, I can just be I could be sitting in this room right now. And, you know, just even just with the atmosphere of like how it is right now, something could just come into my mind and it'll be an image of something. I'll see like different, it's almost like it's moving. It's like I'll see different structures like coming in, like, okay, I want to add this, I want to take away that, whatever. And then I'll start seeing the colors. And then, like, over time, it's going to end up changing when I actually put it on the paper. But, yeah, it just starts moving. It's weird. A little bit.
It's weird, but it's cool. It's so cool. That's just the way you work, you know? Like, that's just the way that your mind is wired. And it's, like, it's been like that from such a young age. You got some books over here. What do we got on the table over here? Are those some sketches?
Yeah, I have my sketchbook here, but I also have, like, these were like some notes that I wrote for myself when I was, it was like years back, because it was like trying to help me figure out what type of artist I am. What type of stuff do I want to put out there? And that's when I really honed in on the whole fact of like, yeah, I want to bring light. That's what I want to give. So I decided, I was like, oh, I'm going to bring that. And my other book has like poetry and stuff, because I was like, that was one thing that I got into as well. And I felt like that kind of helped to open up my, I don't know what the word is, like,
oh wow,
my creativity, that's what I should say. Yeah,
I love this. I've seen this book on TikTok, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I think I have like a few things. Some stuff is just like random sketches. Some stuff like I actually took, and this was like something I redid.
I noticed that one. Yep, I saw that. You know, speaking about this sketchbook right here, I saw on your TikTok you had something that you were doing called the Insecurity Challenge. Was that, what was that about?
That's actually, I think, I don't know if it's in this book. That, yeah, I was doing that at a time. It was actually supposed to be something that I was doing connected with another artist that, that I used to work with. And, it just never came to fruition, because, like, I did one thing and it was just done. But, I won't say that I'm as insecure as I used to be, but I still do have my insecurities. And I felt like I wanted to, beautify them in a sense. That's probably not even a real word, but I wanted to make them seem good.
Now.
Yeah, I wanted to make them seem good. Like, I wanted to take the negative aspect of like how I view them, or how other people even view something that they may relate to, and I wanted to take a positive note on it. So I think the first sketch that I did for that one was, it was almost like an aura, and it was in the temple area, like the crown. It was like orange and red and yellow, and it was more of an expression of my spiritual insecurity, just like how I feel with my mind, how I feel like my mind has gone through so many changes, like, you know, and how I was able to grow from one point to this point. And now I just was like, oh, I'm going to put that out there. And then it just stopped from there. I was like,
I do like your work. I like the portraits that you do. And that's why I was like, maybe, you know, we could say a little bit of humanism as well. You know, so when you're, because I've seen you've done a self-portrait of you as a child, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you did that. And then you also did one for your niece as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of my my two nieces. Yeah.
So when you're doing pieces of work like that, what do you focus on the most, you know, to really grab that, you know, human futuristic lifestyle? Like in this photo right here, if you could show it to the camera on the top. This woman right here.
This one at the top, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of detail in its focus, and you can see that it's clearly a person. What do you focus on the most when you're doing stuff like that?
I think it's just... I don't know. Like, I try to get the aspect of whomever, like, I'm...
Is that
I'm
inspired drawing. By someone?
Yeah, it's I go on Pinterest for all my stuff.
Okay.
Not a sponsorship, but, like, yeah, definitely I go on Pinterest... And I look up different models or just random people. I like to find people who just don't look like what I don't know, society seems is like perfect, who have different features, who have what people would consider abnormal. And I want to like do that. But with these sketches, I was like kind of staying in my comfort zone a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, I kind of focus on just trying to make sure that I get the aspect of that person, but without making it too realistic, because I can tend to be a perfectionist. So I'm like, nah, I just want to allow myself to be authentic with what it is, you know.
It's beautiful. I love it. I love the work, especially with the pencil and the shading. Shading is key.
Yeah.
I believe Michael has a question for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed like with the paintings, they're either like a certain color scheme or like these two girls right here, they don't have a face or anything. Do you kind of go for more like a simple painting vibe, you know?
Yeah. I think because especially for those two, maybe like later I'll like show it, but like the one lady in the back who has like the head wrap and everything, like I didn't want her to have a face. I think I tried to paint a face on her and it did not work out very well. And then I was just like, she doesn't need one. She's fine. And I think it was in the beginning stages of when I started to really get into painting. And I was like, oh, this is something that I actually like. So I'm gonna really get into it. But I didn't want to overdo it. Because like I said, like with the perfectionism, like I go too deep. And I'll start like adding too much detail and then it gets ruined. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just keep it simple. The color schemes kind of come out of the blue. Like, I don't really think about what colors I actually want to use at times. It just kind of happens. I just throw things together and I'm like, oh, if this looks good, then I'm gonna keep it, you know? So.
Yeah, I do like the simple, like the simple look to them.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
The minimalism of it, so.
I really like your color scheme as well. That's definitely where we're going to be heading to next. But before we go there, I just wanted to say that I was checking out your TikTok. Would you mind shouting out your TikTok for people to go ahead and look at it?
My TikTok is aura.arts. This is pretty much the same as the Instagram, so yeah.
Awesome. So with the TikTok, there was this one video I was watching where you were narrating, right? You were like, hey guys, welcome to my studio. This is my studio. Oh, and gosh. You were narrating what was going on and how it was looking, right? But towards the end of that, you're like, nasty paint bucket, got my colors everywhere, so on and so forth. And then you were like, you said, if your studio's not messy, are you really working? And I was like, nah, I felt that.
Yeah. No.
I felt that.
I forgot that I even did that. I'm like, the cringe just started like rolling into me. But, yeah, I do definitely believe in that. And I think it's more of a way, once again, like assuring myself that like, it's okay. It's okay to mess things up. Mm-hmm. It's okay to not be a perfectionist. It's okay to just let things just fall all over the place. And I feel like that's the one time when I'm doing my art where I'm like allowed to do that, because, you know, I always like structure when it comes to everything else. Yeah, like, and I've even had people come to me, like, and they'll see, like, my hands messy, like, when I'm painting and stuff, and, like, I got, like, paint all over my clothes, and I'll just be like, I'm sorry, I'm such a mess. They're like, no, you're a painter. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. So.
No, I wanted to, you know, it conjured up the question for me. I was like, do you feel like sometimes disorganized chaos can create beautiful things?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, when, I mean, it's on topic, but it's off topic. But when you think about, I remember learning in school a long time ago that, like, when a forest, like, catches on fire, like, and the whole forest burns down, like, obviously that's chaos. Like, fire is chaos. Fire could be beautiful, but it destroys a lot. Mm-hmm. And when these forests are being burned down and whatever, however it may happen, it, you know, completely obliterates everything that is in its path. But over time, the... I don't know what it is. It's like the minerals and the different stuff that comes from the fire, like it goes into the soil, it helps to rejuvenate the soil, and then life comes back again. So I kind of feel like, even though that's like more of a little too deep type of way of explaining it, but in that sense, like, yeah, you can find beautiful things out of chaos. Sometimes things have to be messy or be destroyed so they can grow back and, you know, be better. So,
such as that beautiful painting we have right over there, because that's that's a prime example, in my opinion, of not disorganized chaos, but it was chaotic in the atmosphere because, mm-hmm. like I said, so we were at this event, poetry, artists, comedians, mm-hmm. so on and so forth, and you're just in the corner working, composed as ever. I don't know if you were freaking out or not internally, but watching you work was, mm-hmm. It was really something to take in, because mm-hmm. what I really enjoyed was I would see you, like, mess up somewhere or you think you messed up, and you would just pour, like, the paint, white paint, and then mm-hmm. clean it up, and it's, like, back to a fresh start, and mm-hmm. I was like, so that's how they do that, huh?
It's like, I want to say, like, yes. But at the same time, like, this painting was so freeing for me. Like, this is the first time I've ever done anything like it. And I, like, as soon as I brought it home, I realized, I was like, dang, there's so many mistakes on here. I don't like it. But when I was doing it, I did definitely mess up a few times, and I was like, I don't like how this area is looking. I don't like how that area is looking. You know, she was supposed to have two eyes and she has one, you know, stuff like that. But I feel like I was just kind of just letting everything flow. And even though there was a lot of stuff going on, like I was just in the moment, mm-hmm. you know, and I tried to create my own place of peace, because otherwise things will not get done. So that's just how that turned out.
It came out beautiful, and like I said, you were just composing that, so I'm like, wow, this is like beautiful. This is like disorganized chaos, and now we have something beautiful here. And as I was looking at all your colors, we were just talking about the color scheme and mm-hmm. everything, I feel like you incorporate a lot of colors of nature within your pieces of work.
Yeah, definitely.
And my one buddy was like, oh, you should definitely ask her, like, her palettes and why she uses these colors. So would you care to explain why you feel like you use Mother Nature colors more often than not?
I just love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly love nature. I love being in nature. I get a lot of my inspiration from there, because the colors are so unique and ever changing. And so I don't know if you guys noticed, but like, I never use red too often. I don't really like red. There's something about that color that I'm just like, stay away from me. But the other colors, like brown and orange and yellow, is like so much warmth. And like, you know, I think when a lot of time people see blue, they see like cold, or they see sadness, and I'm seeing like water, and I'm like life. And it's just so like, I love the outside. I love nature. So, you know, I think it's something, once again, I'm just like, it just kind of happens, because I'm like, I normally will gravitate towards those colors. So it just, I'm just like, whatever color fits the moment, that's what I'm going to put on there.
With that painting right there, mm-hmm. I thought of like, you could feel like it could be a woman who's submerged in water or coming mm-hmm. out of water. You know, that's what I felt with those mm-hmm. colors that you did there. So yeah. I was like, I did notice that you said in your bio, it says Mother Nature enthusiast.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. It said that. Look, yeah, I'll be researching, bro. I'll be looking at this stuff.
Yeah, no, you do.
So when I saw that, I was like, I had the question originally, like, what's the color scheme? But then I saw that and I was like, okay, you know what? I think I know the answer already. I think it's more so Mother Nature, you know, trying to incorporate those colors. I think you're drawn to those colors just because of what you enjoy mm-hmm. and like to see. So that's really, really cool. I like that. I really like that. And then you had this one painting called Her Heritage. Her Heritage. You know Her Heritage? That's what you titled it, as far as like the caption. It's the one with three women.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, like, I rarely ever name my pieces. I think that makes me a bad artist. Like, you know, artists name their stuff, and I kind of just let them just let them be whatever it is. But yeah, I do remember that. I don't have that with me, but it was actually a commission piece that I was doing for one of my mother's friends.
What do you mean by a commission piece? I'm sorry.
So, you know, someone comes to you, they see your work, and, you know, they ask whatever they want to be done in your style. It could be, if you're a painter, then they're going to ask for your painting. If you're someone who does, like, the realism sketches or whatever, stuff like that. So it's just them. It's like a meeting and a contract that you're setting up so that they can receive your work and you get paid.
Gotcha.
You know, rather than, like, you know, some artists have, like, prints that they already have pre-made and then they're shipping those out to people. So this is, like, custom work that you're getting done.
A one of one.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So it was one of those, and her ethnic background went to Puerto Rico, part of, I'm sure, like, the, like, indigenous tribes, but I just don't know what, because she never gave me an explanation, and she also has roots in certain parts of Africa, so she wanted to make sure that she incorporated all of those things, and she wanted three women to be joined together showing, like, basically who she was. And I feel like I just called it her heritage because it was, you know, it was like, it's her life.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting piece to do because I started it over, like, so many times, and I procrastinated so bad on that one. I did one canvas and it was turning out so well, and then it was turning out so wrong, and I scratched her face off, and I was like, yeah, we're done. We're not doing this. And I put it to the side, and then I waited like a month and I went back to it, and then all these ideas started flowing in. And I feel like that was, like, the tipping point to my painting, because I started seeing the way that I can actually paint. And I was like, wow, I did not know I could do this. I was like, thank the Most High. I was like, what? I can actually paint. This is amazing. So I was doing it, and it just kept getting better and better. And then I was like, okay, this is going to be a good one. And I think I'm glad that it that I messed up once again, because I was able to make something even better in the end. But yeah, that was that one, at least.
I really enjoyed that piece. I thought it was a beautiful piece. I have some notes here that I wrote down. Maybe we can insert the photo here since it's no longer with you. But what I'm saying is when I was watching, I'm like, beautiful, Born from Legacy, right? I saw Born from Legacy in the background. I thought that was really, really powerful, because it was like, it was three women, but even in the background, you still had much more going on, you know? So even though the main focus were the three women in the middle there, you had Born from Legacy, a few sets of lips, and then I saw two other women in the background, you know, a silhouette of a younger woman and then a silhouette of an older woman. And I was just like, how long did that take you to make? You know, it was like, you said you had to put it down for like a month, and then you came back to it. And then you, is that when you really, really, really started painting? That's like when you really realized that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Honestly, because, well, I will say, like, when I first put the other painting away, I had started on a new canvas, and I had drawn so many ideas on there, and I started painting it, and I was like, this is a hot mess. And once again, I had to step aside. So yeah, I think it probably took about a month, like a month and some change to do. And it probably would have only taken, I don't know, like maybe a few weeks if I didn't like have to stop like that. But I think that, I don't know, that was actually one of my favorite pieces too. Like, and the stuff in the background, that was actually the easiest part. The painting itself was a lot more complicated, because in that sense, like, I wasn't going for something simple. Like, I wanted it to be more realistic. I wanted to make sure that I had the features in there, that I wasn't, like, you know, washing over, like, the authenticity of what those women look like. And I wanted to, I don't know, it came into my mind, like, I'm like giving the ideas of what was happening when I was creating it. I was sitting in my living room, and I had like all these old magazines, And I was just like, I want to try something different. So I started cutting up magazines and I started like pasting it onto the back of the canvas. And then I was like, yeah, I did not paint all those things individually. Absolutely not. Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, that's what I did with that. It was fun. It really was.
That's a great piece. I was looking at it. I'm like, no, that's really, really good. Honestly, mm-hmm. now that you said it, it's from a magazine. I was looking at it. I'm like, I thought it was, but also I thought it was like freehand as well. Mm-hmm. So nonetheless, it's still a great piece of work.
Thank you.
And so you start that off with like, you start to draw it out and then you fill it in. Is that how you usually do your paintings?
Yes and no.
Okay.
With that one, I did draw it out at first. With this one, obviously, no. Mm-hmm. I always try to draw them out first because it gives me an idea of where things are going to go, but it never turns out the way that I want it to. So I kind of gave up on that. But for that one specifically, yeah, I did have to definitely draw it out so that I could, you know, get everything, you know, in proper order.
Lined up and everything. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy that. So we have these two other paintings in the back. Maybe mm-hmm. we can get them handed over to brought in real quick and we could talk about them, as well as the freehand one that we did over here at Self Privilege Essentials. Thank you so much. Okay, which one should we start with first?
Honestly, I kind of want to start with this one right here because
you're making noises.
This is like one of the first ones that I feel like this is like one of the paintings that actually started my journey a little bit, because I used to paint when I was in high school, but it was only for like, you know, one period in 10th grade. So, okay. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to pick up a paintbrush ever again. So when I did this, I was like, I can probably get back into it. I don't know. I think this is definitely one of the simpler ones. And I always promised myself that I was going to go back to it and retouch it. But now I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because it's like you can tell that it's old because it has like water. Like I didn't put any varnish on here, which is supposed to like seal in the painting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's like paint drippings on here. There's water marks on here. You can see the acrylic starting to crack. And actually, I kind of like that because I'm like, oh, this is like this is one of the original ones. I'm like, oh, I like her.
So what was that thing that you just said that you have put over to seal the colors?
Varnish.
Varnish. Okay. Yeah. And that's something that you learned along the way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I definitely did not know that. Yeah. So this was, you know, and it also because like I was planning on going back to paint this, but yeah, I had no idea what that was. I was still in the process of learning. Like I did not know how to blend anything. I did not know how, like she's so disproportioned too, you know, so I was like just starting.
I think it looks beautiful. I do enjoy that. And I, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, some people you don't give faces to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And this was one of those pieces that you were like, I feel like it just doesn't need it.
Yeah,
that's unique.
It's actually interesting because there's a lot of people who tell me there's a few people that is like, oh, why doesn't she have a face on there? And I'm just like, Cause she doesn't need it. She's fine. Like, leave her alone. She's good. And then like my mother, definitely like one of my biggest supporters. She's like, I like that. I like how she looks. She doesn't need it. She looks great. Mm-hmm. You know? So it, I don't know. It speaks to people differently.
Because art is subjective.
Yeah.
Art is very subjective. Yeah. It speaks to everyone differently, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I want to give you this compliment right now. As I was talking to one of my Cannaburdo, he's an artist. I was having him analyze your work, and he's like, "Dude, he's like, I'm looking at her work, and it's just soothing."
Oh my
god!
He's
like, "It's just soothing," and I was like, "Soothing how?" And he was like, "It's soothing by the colors, like the work and all that, you know." Like, so has anyone ever given you that type of compliment?
No, I really do appreciate that compliment.
I thought that was unique.
Yeah, very much so. I have never heard that before. Even, you know, you guys just asking me about the colors, like I've never heard that before either.
That's
you know,
so crazy.
A lot of people, I think too, you know, people have a certain perception when it comes to artists. You know, if I was sketching this like in the beginning, like if it, and there was just a random passerby, they'll be like, like before it starts looking like this. They'll be like, why is her eye like that? Why is the hair like that? Why is it like they don't understand the process. And I think a lot of artists also say that, you know, that people don't understand the process, don't understand how much work, you know, how much emotion, how much of yourself is going into what you make. Because it's the same as if you're a musician or if you're a podcaster. Like, you know, you're putting yourself into it. And, you know, I think that the world always wants something that's so beautiful and something that doesn't have mistakes or doesn't take time or that is, like, super quick or, you know, isn't just yourself. And so, like, I think that when they see art, like, in the beginning stages or when they see something that looks a little different, they're like, oh, why does it look like that? Why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? And it's like, well, I didn't want to. You know, why do you always use the same colors? Because I wanted to. You know, so I do definitely appreciate that compliment because it's different and it allows me to know that, you know, my artwork is actually reaching people and it's making them feel something good, mm-hmm. You know, and it's definitely not like the art that I seen in high school, because like I know that when you're in your art classes, if you've taken your art classes, they always talk about, you know, Frida Kahlo or Salvador Dali or you know, Van Gogh and everything. And I'm like, yeah, they're all cool. And like, they all had their own way and their own path. Like, but now we're new artists creating a different path. And we don't want to follow those structures. We're doing our own thing, you know?
It's modern art rather than Renaissance art. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two different things. Don't get me wrong. The Mona Lisa is still a very unique painting.
Yeah, very unique.
You just named a couple artists. Are there any modern artists that you actually look up to or, you know, probably just like look at their work and like, I really like how they did that.
I would say Pink Lomain.
Okay.
Yeah. She is an artist that has a lot of, art that's in like, you know, like TJ Maxx and stuff like that. Like she does a lot of prints. She does stuff. Her art is on like pillows and cups and stuff like that. But I think what inspires me with like her artwork is just the colors that pop and the shapes that she uses. Like I wish that I was like able to like show you, but like the shapes and just the way that I don't know how to explain it. It's like her art looks so fluid, but it's so geometric in the same sense. Like I don't know. Like it's
that sounds very unique because that's a very contradicting.
It really is
lifestyle. It really is. No. That's tough though. You know, if people could create that to where it's flowing with a geometrical. Atmosphere, excuse me.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
May we talk about your second painting that we have down here?
Absolutely. So this one is unfinished. And she might actually remain unfinished because I don't know if I really
She looks beautiful.
Thank you. This one, I think I was just trying to challenge myself. I wanted to do something that was monochromatic.
Excuse me, what does that mean?
Monochromatic is like just having like the same color, different tones.
Okay.
I wanted it to, I don't know. I was on Pinterest and I saw like this pose that I liked and I think that there was blue in the picture and I liked the way that it glowed and I was like, oh, I'm going to try blue. I said, I like the color blue. This is nice. And I just started adding like all these different colors together. And this is like kind of one of like the, one of the nude paintings that I've done because I started getting into that too because I was like, it's once again the simplistic thing, like I didn't want to have to do extra, like I don't want to draw clothes.
Yeah, no, okay.
So I was like, yeah, and I don't know, the human body is just kind of fascinating, so I was like, you know
what I will say about this, I could see the mm-hmm. detail as in the figure of the person's body,
mm-hmm.
Simply because of how you articulated the colors here with the white. You know, it's like you're creating a border mm-hmm. when you do the white. You say it's unfinished. What's unfinished about it? It looks great.
Thank you. Because you know, I wanted to give her eyes, but she doesn't have eyes, and there was supposed to be like more going on in the background. I just kind of like, I was like, I'm just going to get the rest of the paint off my brush.
She has eyes. I see eyes.
Yeah, they're like creepy, like eye sockets. Nah,
That's like messing with me. I'm dangerous. Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful. That's what I'm saying. So like with the aura, you know, like this right here, mm-hmm. beautiful yet strong. You know what I mean? Like
appreciate it. Thank you.
That's the type of thing that I get from. Let me see this one back here. Mm-hmm. Oh. Beautiful and soothing, you know, and that one right there just reminds mm-hmm. me of like a Mother Nature type of field. You know, just because I think about water, and you know, water is so essential to life. Mm-hmm. That's the human nature, like the colors. I think it's so funny. You were asking me about the colors. Like, mm-hmm. I find it so fascinating how many artists don't get asked that question: is why do you use your colors?
Yeah,
you know, because it's like color has meaning. You know, it mm-hmm. brings it. There's a reason why I chose yellow, blue, and white, because I wanted to create the Tonight Show feel.
Okay,
that's why cool. I do that, you know. So when I asked Canaberto, he was like, are you serious right now? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, yeah, no, this is why I use the color, you know. He said this color goes well with that, you know. Mm-hmm. What was that word you said? No, it started with an M, where you just
monochromatic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like you were able to keep that blue within the colors. There's mm-hmm. reasons why you do that stuff, you know. And I think it's important that people know why you do that.
So I have a question for you then.
What do you got?
You answered that question. So I had a question about, like, you know, the Legos and the, do you have like a different set that you have for like each interview, or is it just, you know, is it something that you kind of just thought off the top of your head, or like what's the inspiration, you know, for that?
So the inspiration as far as the setup is kind of just been the same ever since the first episode. I put an upgrading podcast, which is right above you, right on the top right there, an upgrading podcast. And I just try to fit the atmosphere to fit me, you know, and just show who I am. The logo, the reason a logo is the way it is because shout out Charlie Ensemble Design. Who the fuck is designing your shit? The reason I did that logo is because in the actual logo, there's a silhouette of a man on the building here. He didn't cut out the sticker yet. I got to still put it up there.
Okay.
But there's the trees you see in the background, trees mm-hmm. and mountains, and then you see a city right over here. Okay. And the reason I did that was because I'm from the Poconos. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, I am from the Poconos. I was born there. Okay. But I've been there since the second grade. So that's what I say I know.
I'm not.
I'm a fake ass New Yorker, but I am a Yankee. I am a Yankee fan nonetheless. So that's why I did that. And then I moved to a city, you know, and then that way I'm in the middle between. And because wherever I go, I could use that logo universal.
Okay.
You know, either I'll be in a rural area or I'll be in an urban area.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm still in the middle.
That's dope.
So that's why we did that. And then just like these, so like for example, we have new Legos here today.
Yeah.
These are actually my last set of Legos for all of you who have been keeping up and seeing my Legos. I am building one more at the chess set, but it's a lot. Okay. It's a lot of build. But I incorporate the Legos because that's something that I like to do. Like for example, this guy right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I keep staring at that one.
He took a lot of time and he was actually my hardest build, but you want to hear something funny?
Okay.
There's something broken in here.
Oh, that's great. Hey, you know, I mean, it's still well put together. It still looks great.
He fell apart midway through the build, and I just had to improvise, honestly, at that point.
Yeah.
That was definitely my hardest build right there. But yeah, that's why I do this setup just the way it is, you know, and I definitely want to give off that vibe, kick back. You know, Mike and I, that was a big focus point when we started.
Okay.
Was just like, do you want to have an interview or do you want to have a conversation and a vibe? And I was like, I want to have an interview, but at the same time, I want to get that vibe, you know. I want to make people feel relaxed, so where they kick back, relax, and you know, the brick wall is a nice aesthetic to it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just things are falling into places organically and not really planned, you know. And it's like, it's cool when it happens that way, so that's why we have this setup as it is.
Okay, that's cool.
I plan on adding more eventually, but
even the way that it is, you know, simplistic, it still looks good.
Thank you. Yeah, the boom. We got another boom mic on the way. We got this right here. So yeah, that's the reason why it's set up the way it is.
Cool. I like that. I like it.
So I saw that there was a note on the back of that painting there, though. Would you mind expressing that note?
Yes. You see more than I see, because that's one thing I will say about myself. I think I write notes to myself purposely so that, because I know I'm going to forget it, and later on I'll see it and I'm like, wow, that really inspired me today. Thank you, Amber. So this says, It says Aura Arts, and then it says, never forget you have purpose. Don't give up on yourself because things go wrong. Be the best you.
And you wrote that to yourself after you were done painting that?
Yes. It's to myself and also a message to other people. Because I figured like when I finished this and if I were going to, you know, give it to somebody or someone wanted to purchase this, that, you know, they'd like to have a nice little message for themselves, you know?
I agree. May I ask you, I see Monette.
It's actually Monet.
Excuse me.
No, it's okay. This is actually my middle name. I have two middle names, Brittany and Monet. Brittany was the name that, you know, my grandmother gave me on my dad's side. And then Monet was the middle name that my father gave me. So my name was supposed to be Amber Monet Rodney. And he named it after his favorite artist, which I felt was like very interesting. And so I just started signing my stuff that because I was like, you know, that's me. I want to make sure that I have an interesting signature on there.
I like it. I like how you incorporate the M and the O together right there. I really like how you do that, Monet. You said your father, he named you after an artist. Is he an artist himself?
He is not.
Oh, okay.
He's an artist of stick figures, but, but yeah, better he definitely, me. I mean, he still loved art and he appreciates art and music and all of those types of things. So I think that was just something that he was, I don't know what it was. He just decided to give that to me. Even just them naming me Amber, they said it was so hard for them to find a name for me, especially because, you know, I have a West Indian last name and it ends in a Y, and it's very hard to find a first name that flows well with that type of last name. So that's what they kind of came up with. But, you know, I have the light and then I have the art. So it was just bound to happen. It's my destiny.
love it. That's your purpose.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was named Kevin. My mom was looking at a rock, and she legit said, yeah, we're going to name him Kevin. Legit, that's the story I got. Yeah, like, actually, my little brother, too, Jonathan as well, a rock. And my mom actually has that rock. Like, she kept it.
Really?
Yeah, no cap. It's followed us on every move. And I'm like, yo, like... And I'm
it's like the other child.
There's a photo of us all holding the rock because we were like, yo, bro, this is like our brother.
Oh, my God. Yo.
Oh, that is so funny. May I ask you, are you ever interested in doing anything on a bigger scale, such as a mural?
Yes, definitely. I definitely want to do a lot more research on it. I did actually start painting a mural over at Self Privilege. You know, it was kind of just, you know, a way of like, you know, we're helping each other. We're networking with each other. And also because, you know, me and Kafar, we went to high school together. So, you know.
We went to the same high school.
Though. Yeah. So then, yeah, we all went to school together. This is the Poconos. So,
wait, your last name is Ronnie. Do you have a brother?
I do have five brothers, but they have a different last name.
Okay. Never mind.
No. Yeah.
I was like, maybe I know a brother, but continue.
Yeah. But yeah, I did started doing a mural in his shop. I didn't really get to finish it because, you know, duty calls when it comes to work and life and all those different things. But I do definitely want to do something on a larger scale, you know, inside shops, maybe outside. Like I want to, I don't know, I just want to see it. Like I just want to see what I can create.
See, the reason I asked is because we are in Scranton right now, mm-hmm. and in Scranton, I don't know, have you ever been around here? Have you really ever toured this area before?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm going to recommend a few spots that mm-hmm. you stop before you leave, because Scranton is actually, there's murals being put up on like a monthly basis right now.
Wow.
My one friend Charlie was telling me that they are giving artists, like, you fill out an application, and if you get chosen, you get chosen, and that's it.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's your wall, and you do these murals over here, and there's tons and tons and tons, you know, on the sides of buildings. There was one over here that's Mother Nature based with a caterpillar, turns into a butterfly, you know, snail, so on and so forth. I saw that painting start from, like, a sketch and then go into something much bigger, and it's really, really cool. So that's why I asked, and I've been looking to get a lot more artists within the area who are on that type of caliber. There's one man, his name is Eric Bousset. Hopefully I said his name right. But he's a big part of the mural community, and I've had an interview with someone who knows him. So I'm hoping that one day him and I could cross paths and we could do something like that. But definitely look into opportunities such as creating murals, because I think those are like the everlasting staples. You know, it's like almost building your own building. Like if you were an architect, it's like, yeah, I painted that. That's my painting on the side of a on the side of a building. So that'd be really, really cool. I think you should, if you could, look into it more.
No, thank. I definitely will. Thank you.
Of course. Now you were saying what other books we have here? You said you do some poetry. I read that a little bit.
That was like.
Would you care to share some poetry?
I will. I will share a few things. I am going to warn you in the beginning though that like when I was writing this stuff, it was like I was going through a dark time.
It happens.
Yeah. No. Definitely. It definitely does.
Well,
but
I'm sorry. Before we get into that. Would you consider art therapy for you? Like, is it therapeutic for you, you know, in moments where you are feeling in the dark time?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Even in the most recent example, I was just leaving work and I was super overwhelmed, super just like having a breakdown. Like, it was just a lot. And immediately in my mind, like, the first two things, I was like, I need to get home, pray, and then I need to paint. Like, that's it. Like, that's it. Because I'm just, you know, life does definitely get overwhelming. So, like, that's where I gravitate to. And the one thing that my mother always told me, she said, when you're feeling like that, when you're having those heavy emotions, she's like, put that in your art. And I'm like, you're right, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's beautiful. It's a good way of therapy for you. I ask you that because I did see it on one of your captions. Art is therapy.
Yeah.
Art is my therapy. And I'm like, yeah, it's got to be, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well.
Let's tap into your poetry.
All right. So, and I would say this too definitely is, this was my therapy as well, the poetry. I'm trying to see if.
I do enjoy poetry. There's a lot of poetry events. Shout out Mr. Melville, Mr. Monk. He's been doing his poetry shows. He's been going all around Scranton. And I've really seen him creating his team here. You know, he's got a lineup full of poets, and I'm like, this is awesome, you know, for him to have been able to create a community such as that. So poetry is beautiful.
It is very beautiful. And it, I think it really opens you up to a different part of yourself. It allows you to be more aware of what you're feeling. It's like introspection. It's just like journaling. You know, I do a lot of journaling as well because, you know, there's times that you have to get those things out. You have to understand what you're feeling.
I agree.
I'm just gonna go back to the beginning. Sorry.
No, you're good. I started a journal actually recently within the year. I am turning 25 Thursday actually. But when this is released, I will be 25 by then.
Okay.
But you know, at the age of 24, I was like, yo, I need something to just like write down some ideas and some notes to myself. And I titled it Highs and Lows. That's what it's called. It's called Highs and Lows. And I'm like, the more and more I write about it, it will just become like a series, you know, Highs and Lows Volume 1, Highs and Lows Volume 2. And it's basically like, it started as Highs and Lows, but then I added a third factor to it, which is just mids, which is like, I'm just here.
You're just here. Yeah, that's a good. That's actually like the best way to describe it, because there are those moments, definitely. There are those moments where you're just like, yeah, I'm just here. I don't have any. There's no deep emotions. It's just existing a little bit.
We're just here, and I at the end of each insert, I either write high or low, and or mid, and I circle it, and in that way, I know how I felt, who I was around, what was going on, you know. And I think that if you look at the consistency of many highs you have, right, you'll start to realize a pattern as to who you were with or what you were doing before, you know. And then same thing with the lows. Who were you with? What were you doing? Why were you feeling that way? So it's ways to find out what makes you happy and what makes you feel sad. And that's the theory of highs and lows.
I get that. Yeah. I wanted to, do you mind if I read two?
No, of course.
Okay, so I'm going to read one of the more depressing ones, if you will, and then I'll read the one that's a little bit more lighthearted.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so this one I couldn't really come, like, I don't know, settle in on one name. So it has self-examination, my exam, the exam, blah, blah. See, look, now I'm getting nervous, because this is like some deep emotions at the time. So my heart is pounding a little bit. Yeah, but it's, okay. All right, so I have sat in the seat of sorrow, wickedness overtaking my mind. I have wallowed in heaviness and stayed over time. Confusion has become my companion, though we do not agree, and fear creeps on me night after night, habitually. I have meditated on things that will only keep me bound, letting guilt, worry, and doubt take turns beating me into the ground. The scriptures say, my sheep hear my voice, but all I hear is silence. While I blindly lead myself, yet pray for y'all's guidance. Still, he wakes me up, though I know I have sinned, just to turn around and do it over and over again. His love is true, but can I say the same for mine? Because it feels as though I am swimming in pools of wickedness right along with mankind. Do I analyze the thoughts within my mind? This was an old one. Okay. Hold on, guys.
Rewind.
Do I analyze the thoughts within my mind? I have been corrected in the past and convicted in the present, but have mistaken what was love for resentment. Is my mind doubled? Do I truly trust the Most High? To be honest, I feel more faithless than faithful as the days go by. Am I still in bondage? Do these generational curses still reside? I feel like I can't discern what's happening on the inside. Pride needs to decrease and humility arise. Discover that inner peace, the Most High Spirit filled on the inside. From these spirits I need release, and true freedom will preside. Old man must decrease to see my true self in his eyes. Thanks. Oh, God. That was
beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
I sense a challenge of belief in that one.
Yeah.
That's what I sensed.
I think it was a challenge of belief in myself, in a sense. Like, no one could ever take the Most High from my life or from my heart, because like, I know the things that I've been through, and I know the things that I've been delivered from, and like things that I've just really overcome. But I think that I've always struggled believing in my redemption and believing in that I could be greater. The one thing that I think that's also like, it kind of connects to my art in the same way, because I always tell people that I'm so great at giving optimism to others except not to myself. I'm good at helping others' lives to improve, but not improve my own life. You know, I struggle with, you know, I battle with just trying to see greater for myself and do better for myself. And, you know, it would like, I feel like with that poem, it was almost like there was just like a darkness looming over me that was just like, you're never going to be good. Like, you're never going to be great. You're never going to do anything good for yourself. You know, people are saying all these good things, but you don't believe it. It's not true. You know, and it was just like real heaviness. I'm not going to. It was just negativity all the time, you know.
Self-affirmation was difficult for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best way to explain it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But I will say that I have, you know, thank the Most High, like, passed from that point. There are times where, of course, you do get, you know, sad. You feel down. You get down on yourself as well. But I'm not in that place anymore. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that. And it took a lot. It took a lot of things. I was going through a lot at that time as well. You know, a lot of different changes and movements in my life. So, yeah.
Happy you're out of that dark hole.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Final poem, and then we're going to have to start wrapping things up.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay, so. You can find me where the willows are, where the skies are painted blue, reflecting on all my lasting memories, the ones that lead me back to you. You can see the clouds begin to swell seconds before the rain pours down, cleansing me of all my past mistakes, seeping deep beneath the ground. If you walk along the river bend, you'll find me laying there alone, basking in the rays of sun above, laying along the pastures below. These are my moments of great escape, and there are more tales to come, soaking in the waters of my memory and creating all new ones.
I like that.
Thank you.
I really like that. Ooh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That was slick. I loved it.
Thank you.
Amber, thank you for sharing some poetry. Thank you for coming through to the Middleman Podcast. Absolutely. You are a wonderful artist. I'm looking forward to anything that you're going to be creating, because like I said, you give off this aura. Your aura, you're spot on. You're doing it. You're doing
thank
it
you,
on a different
you.
Level. It's beautiful. It's self-taught. And it's just beautiful. You know what I mean? So usually before we get off the air here, I like to give the floor to my guest. You know, any messages that you would like to share for the people listening, anything that you have up and coming that you want people to be looking out for, so on and so forth. Maybe some young, some advice you give to young starters, you know, in the painting or art world. The floor is yours.
For the young people, definitely. Like, you know, just continue to believe in yourself. Continue to, just remind yourself that there are people out there that are supporting you, and just lean on them, lean on the Most High. Make sure that you stay grounded in the things that you want to do, and know that it's okay to change what you want to do. Even later in life, you could be 10, you could be 25, you can be 45, you could be 65, whatever. If you want to change what you want to do, you don't want to do it no more. Don't go ahead. You can do that. It's fine. And once again, like, you can be whatever you want to be. So I just thank you. I do appreciate this, just this interview. I appreciate, you know, the comfort in here. I appreciate just the time, you know, taking out your time. So it was great.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. And thank you for being a fantastic guest, in my opinion.
Thank you.
And I'm ready to go. So I really love your energy. And we're going to keep it going, because we have tea time right after this.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you for all watching.
Remember, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. Thank you for watching. This is Kevin Martinez, the host of the Middleman Podcast. See you later. All right. I know what you're thinking. Kev, seriously? Another ad? Are you serious, bro? But listen, if you're enjoying this conversation, you really want to listen to this ad, okay? Listen, I got good news for you. We have exclusive bonus content strictly on YouTube after this podcast with the same guests, right? Check this out. And this segment is called Tea Time, right? Now, Tea Time is not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. So that's right. Do yourself a favor. Go out there, buy yourself an Arizona Iced Tea, and join us strictly on YouTube for extra bonus content on Tea Time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you there. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.